All right, for Mrs. Snoor, then, open your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. I've been putting this off for 21 weeks. I got a Bible study I'm teaching on the church, and I got a Bible study on the financial support of the church. That's just a Bible study. It's not a sermon, but it's not very colorful and it's not very exciting. And have you been drinking again? Almost every week I said, this is the week I'm going to do it. And I thought, no, the folks don't want to hear that. I'm getting close to the end of the Bible studies on the church, and so I'm going to talk tonight on the subject of financing of the church. Now, I want to say this before we read the scripture. There's a lot of difference of opinion on this matter of where the tithe is supposed to go. I don't believe that anybody in this room tonight who has an open mind will follow this Bible study and have any doubt but that my position is right. In fact, if you will agree right now my position is right, we can go home. Not quite loud enough, so I have to go on and read the Bible. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. One of the favorite tools that Malachi uses in his teaching is to ask the question and then answer the question. He says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now I'm going to ask you to get your Bibles all oiled up. We're going to use our Bibles an awful lot tonight. Sometimes I use one scripture and then go from there. And tonight we're going to just read a lot of scripture. So I want you to follow me as I teach to you. I honestly believe tonight, if you listen, that it'll not be one of the better Bible studies, but I'll guarantee you, if you have a logical mind and a reasonable mind, you'll see, I think, what I'm teaching tonight is so plain. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. These 31 years now. Every Wednesday night, a little bit more of it, and a little more the next week, a little more the next week. And I wonder how many of the verses in the Bible we've used in these 31 years, nearly. So tonight we come again to take a few more verses and try to find what they mean. Instruct us and teach us and help us be willing learners. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the Word of God. Help us to rightly divide it, to want to learn it, even though we are not studying one of the more spectacular subjects tonight. Help us to learn what we ought to learn. Amen. We take it for granted here that we bring our tithes and put them in the church. And I think that is scriptural. But on occasion, a few times since I've been here, I do not remember what that last was, but I take a little time to let you know why we bring our tithes to the house of God. I want you to get a piece of paper and a pen tonight. I want to ask you I'll tell you some things to write down. I think it'll help you learn better if you write these down. Any kind of paper. That's going to take you an hour and a half to find a paper. Just forget it. Be sure and rattle the paper all you can while you're doing it. That's good. That's good. You bunch of idiots. That's what you are. All right. Now, I'm going to give you 8 words to write down. look at me before you start writing, because you won't know what to write unless I talk for a few minutes first. The life of Israel, of the Jewish people in the Bible, which is basically the life of the gospel, because from the Jewish people we get the gospel, we get the Bible, and we got the Savior, is divided into 8 definite sections of time that they spent. I want to give you those 8 sections of time. I want you to write one under the other. Just make a list here and leave the space to the right of the word, because I'm going to give you some scripture references to write after a while. I'm going to give you the 8 different divisions of history, starting with back under in the first of the Old Testament, going all the way to the New Jerusalem. All right, number 1. Okay. Patriarchal. You spell that P-A-triarchal. Correct me if I'm wrong. Ms. Colston, proofread this. P-A-T-R-I-A-R-C-H-A-L. Good. P-A-T-R-I-A-R-C-H-A-L. Patriarchal. That's the first. Right under that, write the word wilderness. Patriarchal was the time before the book of Exodus. It was the time back in the days of Joseph and Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, the patriarchs. Second, the wilderness. That's after they left the land of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. They spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. Number 3. The time of the judges. The time of the judges. J-U-D-G-E-S. The time of the judges. The time of the judges was the time just after they had arrived in the promised land. They had left the wilderness, gone inside the promised land, and the first rulers that they had were not rulers at all. They were judges. Over a period of time, the judges ruled the land. All right, number 4, right under judges, the time of the kings. The time of the kings. Right under that, the time of the rebuilding. I'm talking about the time they're in the land now. They were out for a while, but they're in the land. The time of rebuilding. That's when they came back from the captivity in Babylon and rebuilt the temple, rebuilt the wall, rebuilt the city. The time of rebuilding. Number 6, the post-rebuilding days. The post-rebuilding days. That period of about 400 years between the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the coming of the Christ child in Bethlehem. The post-rebuilding days. That was number 6. Number 7, the New Testament age. The New Testament age. All of these right under each other. Number 8, the millennium. The millennium. Now I want to show you, I'll give those to you again. 1, patriarchal. 2, wilderness. 3, judges. 4, kings. 5, rebuilding. 6, post-rebuilding days. 7, New Testament age. And 8, the millennium. Now that takes the Jewish people all the way from the patriarchs, early pages of Genesis, all the way into the New Jerusalem. Well, they'll actually live on the New Earth, but it covers their history. Now, I want you to notice something that each of these ages has in common tonight. Open your Bibles to Genesis. Keep the paper there somewhere handy. Open your Bible to Genesis chapter 28, verse 17. Genesis chapter 28 and verse 17. This is the story of Jacob. When he had deceived his father, deceived his brother, and was going back to the homeland, he comes the first night to a place where he sees the vision of the ladder. And you remember the story. Now, verse 17, he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God." Take your pen, underline those words, or circle them, the house of God. the house of God. Don't forget it. Jacob is at the house of God. Look down to verse number 19. And he called the name of that place Bethel. Circle the word Bethel. And right beside it, the house of God. That's what it means. El meaning God, Beth meaning house. The house of God. Look down to verse number 22. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. Circle the words, God's house. This stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. Now, three times there, you have God's house mentioned. Jacob said, I'm going to call this place the house. Oh, he said that this is the house of God. Then he said, I'm going to call this place Bethel, which means the house of God. And then he said, this stone shall be God's house. Now look at the rest of verse 22. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Let me ask you a question. Now, by the way, this is the second time in the Bible that tithing is mentioned. It was mentioned that Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, but we won't go into that tonight. But I want you to notice that Jacob gave the first time that one of the patriarchs, well, the first time Jacob gave a tithe, he gave it to a place that three times is called the house of God. That's all I want you to know. So I want you to right beside that word, that scripture, the patriarch, right beside the word patriarchs, write Genesis 28:17-22. Genesis 28:17-22. Three times we have that Jacob brought the tithe to the word of God, house of God. All right. Now then, what is the second age that we have here in the Jewish life? The wilderness. All right. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter number 23, verse number 17. Exodus, chapter 23, verse number 17, page 99 in your Scofield Bible. Take it, verse 19. The Jews in this chapter are starting their journey toward the promised land. They are crossing the Red Sea. They've just crossed the Red Sea. Now they've been given the law. Moses has been to Mount Sinai. The Ten Commandments have already been given. And now God is talking to them about how they're to behave in the wilderness. And among other things, he says in verse 19, the first of the first fruits. Now look at me. When the tithe is mentioned, sometimes it's called tenth. And that's what it was a while ago in Matthew, in Genesis. It's called the tenth. Sometimes it's called the first fruits, and sometimes it's called the tithe. Occasionally, it's called the firstlings. But almost always, when the tithe is mentioned, it's called either the tenth or the tithe or the first fruits. All right, let's look at that verse again. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. All right? Now, for the second time, we have mentioned the house of God is where the tithe was brought. Now, this is God's command. God said, bring the tithe into the house of God. So while they're in the wilderness, they had the tabernacle that went with them. Everywhere they went, they followed the tabernacle, and they were to bring the tithe into the house of God. All right, now there's some logic I'm going to get to here. The first era was what? The era of the what? Patriarchs. And Jacob brought the tenth where? House of God. And the second era was what? Wilderness. And God told the Jews to bring the tithes where? House of God. All right, what's the third era? Judges. All right, open your Bibles. Before you leave that, write down beside the word wilderness, Exodus 23:19, and also write down Exodus 34:26. Exodus 34:26. It also deals with the wilderness. I want you to notice that verse, Exodus 34:26. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring unto the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see the kid in his mother's milk. All right? So once again, we have in the patriarchal time, they brought their tithe where? Say it. Where? And where was the house of God? It was at the altar that Jacob built. Then in the wilderness, while they're traveling, what was the house of God? Tabernacle. And they're bringing their tithes where? To the house of God. All right? Now, what's the third era you have there? All right? The era of the judges. Open your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Page 230 in your Schofield Bible. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, the Israelites are getting ready to go in the promised land, and God is giving them advice concerning what to do when they get there. Look at verse number 10. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell in safety. Now this is the time of the judges he's talking about. God is saying, when you get there, and when they got there, the judges rule. When you get there, this is what you do. Verse 11. Then there shall be a place, which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. All right? Now he said, when you get in the land, there's going to be a place. There was a place for Jacob. What was that place? Talk to me. What was it? House of God. There was a place in the wilderness. What was it? House of God, the tabernacle. Now then, God said, there will also be a place. Now you listen to me. You can't decide where you put the tithe. There's a place you put the tithe. Always has been that way. Always has been the house of God. All right? So we've noticed three of the eras so far. So beside the word judges, right? Deuteronomy 12, 10, and 11. Deuteronomy 12, 10, and 11. Now, when they got in the land, the tabernacle was the first place that they brought, the first house of God. The tabernacle was replaced by the temple later on, and that became the house of God. All right? What's the next era? All right, let's go back and review. What was the first era? And Jacob brought the tithe where? House of God, which was an altar. What was the second era? Wilderness. And the Israelites were told for 40 years to bring the tithe to the house of God, which was the what? Tabernacle. And then he said, when you get in the land and the judges rule, there will be a what? A place. And that place was the tabernacle, and later on the temple, the house of God. What's the fourth era? Era of the kings. Open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 12. 2 Kings chapter 12. Verse number 4. We're now in the fourth era of the Jews. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 4, page 436. And Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord. There it is now. The money that is brought into the house of the Lord. Let me stop and say a word here. We have a lot of talk about storehouse tithing. There's no such thing in the Bible as storehouse tithing. There's church house tithing in the Bible. God's house tithing in the Bible. Now, you don't have, well, the house, but my daughter's in a Christian school. Can I take my tithe and pay her tuition? No, you can't take your tithe and pay her tuition. Well, I got a family next door to me, and they're sort of hungry. They're poor. If I buy them some food and clothes, can I use my tithe for that? No, you can't use your tithe for that. In the first four eras of history of the Jews, in the era of the patriarchs, they brought their tithes to the house of God. In the era of the wilderness, they brought their tithes to the house of God. In the time of the judges, they brought their tithes to the house of God. Now verse 4 again of chapter 12 of 2 Kings. And Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord. All right? That means the time of the kings, the tithe was brought to the house of the Lord. Now, one word I want you to notice, it mentioned over and over and over again, bring, bring, bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse. Not send them, not mail them, bring them. You're supposed to be here. We'll get to that why, but 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, on the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in store, not mail in, lay by. You're supposed to be here every Sunday. Every time the door's open, you're supposed to be here. Every Sunday morning, you're supposed to be here. Every Sunday night, you're supposed to be here. Every Wednesday night, you're supposed to be here. So it said, bring them. All right? Now then, the king, times the kings, they brought the money, the tithes, and offerings into the house of the Lord. All right? So put beside the kings, 2 Kings 12:24. So far, you have the patriarchal days, Genesis 28:17-22. You have the wilderness, Exodus 23:19 and 34:26. You have the judges, Deuteronomy 12:10-11. You have the kings, 2 Kings 12:4. What's the fifth era? What is it? Rebuilding days. All right, right beside that, Nehemiah 10:38. And Nehemiah 13:10-12. Nehemiah 10:38 and Nehemiah 13:10-12. All right, look at Nehemiah 10:38. The Jews now are back from captivity. They're back in the land, and God tells them what to do about the money. Look at verse number 38, Nehemiah chapter 10. And the priest, the son of Aaron, could I just add more volume? Maybe it'd help me a little bit if I had to add more volume. Can you hear me? Give me a little more volume, would you? What's the ding on if you can hear me? Okay, good. Thank you. All right. In Nehemiah chapter 10, verse 38, and the priest of the son of Aaron shall be with the Levites when the Levites take tithes, as the word, and the Levites, that, by the way, the Levites were the preachers. They were the folks that worked at God's house. And the Levites shall bring up the tithe of the tithes unto the house of our God. All right? That's the fifth consecutive era in the life of God's people. And in every era, they're told to bring the tithe to the house of God. Now, we haven't gotten to our era yet. We will in a few minutes. But I want you to notice that in every era of God's dealing with his people, they're supposed to bring the tithe to the house of God. All right? What's the sixth era? What? All right, now then. By the way, look at Nehemiah 13:10. I forgot that. Nehemiah 13:10. And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of God forsaken? And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil of the treasures. Treasure of what? Judge in verse number 11, the house of God. The Levites were having to go out in the fields and work to make a living, and they were supposed to live on the tithe of God's people. And so Nehemiah says, the house of God's forsaken. Why? The Levites can't stay and work. They got to get out and get a job in the field somewhere. And God said, bring your tithe to the house of God. It's always God's plan. All right? Now then,
What's the next era? What is it? All that? Post-revealing days, right beside that, Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. All right, look at Malachi chapter 3, read a while ago, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring, there's that word again, bring ye all the tithes, there's that word again, in the storehouse. Now, where's the storehouse? That there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. God said, bring your tithes to my house. Now, the house of God was not always the same. But for a while, it was the altar. For a while, the tabernacle. For a while, the temple. And for a while, it was even a place called the tent of meeting. I won't go into that because it's not a part of our study. It was a tent of meeting. But wherever the house of God was, that's where the tithe was to be brought. All right? So right beside number 6, Malachi, the revealing days, post-revealing days, Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Now I'm going to skip the New Testament age and go down into the Millennium Age. The Millennium Age. Right beside that millennium, we're in Ezekiel 44, 30. Ezekiel 44, 30, and Ezekiel 48, 10. Ezekiel 44, 30, and 48, 10. Now look at it. Now anybody that knows anything about Ezekiel knows that the last part of Ezekiel deals with the kingdom age. It deals with the rebuilding of the house of God in the kingdom age, the millennium. So Ezekiel chapter 44 is talking about the millennium. Look what's going to happen. Verse 30. And the first of all the first fruits of all things, that's the tithe, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations, shall be the priest. Ye shall also give unto the priest, the first of your dough. There it is. Can beat that. Right there. That he may cause the blessings to rest in thine house. Now, that means you're supposed to bring all your money to me. No. Bring all the money to the priest. Now, where was the priest? Look over, if you would, please, to chapter 48, verse number 10, the last two lines of verse 10 and the first line of verse 11. And the sanctuary of the Lord, in other words, for the house of God, sanctuary of the Lord shall be in the midst thereof. It shall be for the priest. Now, in chapter 44, we found you're supposed to bring your tithes in the millennium. To whom? Talk to me. To whom? Priest. And in chapter 48, where were the priests? At the sanctuary of the house of God. Now look at me. We have gone through every era in the entire Bible of God's people. We have found in every era they brought the tithe to whatever was the house of God then. Is that right? They brought the tithe to the altar. That was the house of God. Then the house of God became the tabernacle. They brought the tithe to the tabernacle. Then the house of God became the tent of meeting. They brought the tithe to the tent of meeting. Then the house of God became the temple. They brought the tithe to the temple. In the millennium, the temple will be rebuilt and will be called the sanctuary of the house of God. The word sanctuary means a place for God or a house for God. And they will bring we will bring our tithes in the millennium to the house of God. Now look at me. Do you think that of all the seven eras we've covered tonight, that God is going to have the people to bring the tithes to his house, and then in one little New Testament era, change his mind? Well, God said, I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. That's what it says. But the Bible says, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The Bible said Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he wanted Jacob to bring his tithes to the house of God, if he wanted the Jews in the wilderness to bring their tithes to the house of God, if he wanted the Israelites under the judges to bring their tithes to the house of God, if he wanted the Jews under the kings to bring their tithes to the house of God, if he wanted the Israelites when they got back from captivity to bring their tithes to the house of God, he wanted the Israelites during that silent period of 400 years to bring their tithes to the house of God, he wants us in the millennium to bring our tithes to the house of God. You mark it down. He wants us to bring our tithes in this age to the house of God. Doesn't that make sense? Would any reasonable person figure that out? All right. Now, I want you to turn to this age. Turn to Matthew 23:23. First thing I want to show you is that tithing is for this age. Matthew 23:23. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Now look at it. These things ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." Jesus said, tithing is not as important as mercy and judgment and faith. But he said, you ought to do it. He said, these things ought ye to have done. So tithing is a New Testament principle. Well, you say, well, that's the only place Jesus ever spoke about it. Well, did Jesus have to say something twice to make it true? How many times did our Lord have to say something to make it true? Jesus, with his own mouth, said, these things ought ye to have done. So Jesus said, you ought to tithe. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2. Upon the first day of the week, that Sunday, let every one of you lay by him in store. There is a place you're supposed to put it. And you're supposed to bring it, it says. Everybody lay by him in store. As God hath prospered him. Now look at me. Would you agree that this scripture teaches proportionate giving? You're supposed to give according as God has prospered you. All right, so if one person makes more money than the other, he's supposed to give more money. Is that right? All right, so this verse teaches proportionate giving. Now, there are several proportions mentioned in the Bible. There's Zacchaeus gave fourfold, that'd be 40%. Then in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, man asks him to go a mile more than two, that'd be twice, that'd be 20%. Then the 10% is the tithe. So you can have your choice. 40%, 20%, 10%. I'm willing to give you your choice. How many will take 40? How many will take 20? How many prefer 10? How many prefer 1? All right. Now, proportionate giving. Now then. But you say, well, the house, it doesn't say to bring it to the church. Well, it says in store. To the place. But now would you agree that God always wants his people to bring the tithe to the house of God? Yes or no? All right. Now, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. verse number 15. And I'll wait for you, page 1276. Look at it carefully. But if I tarry long, Paul said to Timothy, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. I want to stop right there a minute. Should be nice for some of you to learn that. Got a letter, somebody this week said, some of our college students up in the balcony last Sunday were rude, misbehaved. Why don't you go to another college? Why don't you just get out of here? You got to come to church and misbehave and be rude and keep folks from listening. Go on home. Said, thou mightest behave thyself in the house of God. Look at it now. Which is the church of the living God. What's the house of God today? Talk to me. What's the house of God today? I can't scream at you tonight, so you talk. Don't let me beg you. What's the house of God today? Church. Exactly so. So it's right there. Behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Now, what is the church? A building? No. What is the church? It is a called out assembly. So when God's people, listen to me now, when God's people, listen to me, meet on the Lord's day, that is a church. If we meet in a civic center like we did years ago, for a while, or if we meet here, or if we met under a tent across the street, anywhere God, the called out assembly meets, that is the house of God. So what does it mean? If God, in the days of the patriarchs, wanted the money, the tithes to his house, and if God, in the days of the wilderness, the law, wanted the tithe in his house, and if God, in the days of the judges, wanted the tithe in his house, and if God, in the days of the kings, wanted the tithe in his house, and if God, in the days of the rebuilding after the captivity, wanted the tithe in his house, and if God, in the silent years of Malachi, wanted the tithe in his house, and if God, even in the millennium, wants the tithe in his house, well, bless your heart, God didn't all of a sudden change his mind. God wants his tithe in his house in this age also. Now, all you got to do is find out what the house of God is. Now, follow the carefully. I'm through. It was the altar first. The patriarchal days, the altar. With Exodus 25, pardon me, it became the tabernacle. With David and Solomon, it became the temple. In part of the days, in the Canaan, became the tent of meeting place. Later, it became the rebuilt temple after the captivity. Then, it will become the rebuilt temple again in the millennium. In this age, the house of God is the called out assembly. Every Sunday, God's people are supposed to take the first tenth of their income. Not after Uncle Sam has his, but the first tenth of their income, and bring that to the house of God. And the house of God is the church. Now, let's see if you have your outline okay there in case you want to study it later. I'll give it to you in close. First era, patriarchal days, Genesis 28, 17 through 20. Second era, wilderness, Exodus 23, 19, 34, 26. Third era, Judges, Deuteronomy 12, 10, 11. Fourth era, Kings, 2 Kings 12, 14. Fifth era, rebuilding days, Nehemiah 10, 38, Nehemiah 13, 10 through 12. Sixth, post-rebuilding days, Malachi 3, 8 through 10. Seven, New Testament age, Matthew 23, 1 Corinthians 16, 2, 1 Timothy 3, 5. Millennium, Ezekiel 44, 30, and 48, 10. Now I want you or kept me from it. If you take your tithe and decide to put it in the bus ministry, you're not tithing. If you take your tithe and put it in the Spanish ministry, you're not tithing. If you take your tithe and put it in the big day this Sunday, you're not tithing. Now, God said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. What do you mean there? Do you ever wonder why Ananias and Sapphira were killed in the book of Acts? They came in and sold a house, and they came in and just bought a part of the profit that made on that house, or that piece of ground, rather, and God killed them. Now, why? Tell you why. Let me see. I'll let this spot right here represent the treasury of God. 1/10 of my income is already God's. If I don't put it there, I'm robbing God. Is that right? But let's suppose that I make a vow to a building program, or a vow to give God more than the 10%, or a vow for a special offering. As soon as I make that vow, the amount of that vow becomes God's, just like the 10% is God's. So you are robbing God if you don't give him what's his. And what's his is what you gave him. If you promise God something extra, that's as much his as the tithe is. Now, the reason Ananias and Sapphira were killed is because they had promised God they're going to give God the price of that house, of the property. Barnabas had done that. Barnabas had sold his property and given all the profit to God. And they said, hey, we'll do the same thing. He got a lot of credit, a lot of attention for that. And they bragged on him. We'll do the same thing. We'll sell our property and we'll give the profit to God. They sold their property. They did not give it all to God. Does that mean that if you sell a piece of property and don't give all the profit to God, God's going to kill you? No, I may, but God's not going to. No, God's not going to kill you. But if you promise God that profit, that's a whole new ballgame. So the tithe is the law. Let's go back. Let's go a step further. Suppose that you surrender your life to full-time Christian service. Then your life becomes God's. You make a vow. Dear God, I'll give my life to serve you full-time. Wait a minute. You make a vow. Then your life is God's. You promised. You vowed your life to serve God full-time. You promised. Now, whatever you vow, and vows are very sacred in the Old Testament, whatever you vow to God, at the moment that vow is made, becomes just as sacred as the tithe, and just as much God's as the tithe. And what you promise, what the tithe is, always is brought to the house of God. Now, I'll tell you something. I said so many times. Everybody in this room tithes. Everybody in the world tithes. God is not going to let you have more than 90% of your income to live on. And you may as well go ahead and give him the 10, get credit for it. Because you're not going to live on more than 90%. Well, you sit with the finest. I've been watching a television program. A lot of you folks are watching too many of these non-Baptist television programs anyhow. I've been watching television program, and I decided to send my tithe to him. No, you didn't. It wasn't the tithe you sent to him. Every bit of your increase belongs to God. A tenth of it belongs to God. It's his. Somebody said, Brother Howes, you understand. I make $10,000 a month. You're in the wrong church. But I make $10,000 a month. That's $1,000. Give it to my church? I didn't write this book. And yes, the answer is yes, you're supposed to. You make $1,000,000 a month, $100,000, that's supposed to go to your church. And you have no right to divide it up and designate it. You give it to the regular offering. There's not one thing. Now, there's nothing wrong with giving designated gifts if it's over above the tithe. But there's not one place in all the Bible where any Christian in the Bible ever designated what they gave. They brought it to the house of God, and the house of God dispersed it. I thank God tonight. The first money I ever made of my own, I was 10 years old. I got a Dallas Morning newspaper route. Had about 35 customers, made about $3 a week. I thank God when I got home that first week after I collected, I had $3 profit for myself. That my mother sat down and said, "Now, son, let me tell you something. All that's not yours." And I said, "Why? Whose is it?" She said, "I want to tell you something." She took 3 dimes and said, "Over here." And she said, "That's God's." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because we live on God's earth. We drink God's water. We have God's sunshine. We breathe God's air. That's rent." And I thank God, though I've made some mistakes in my life, there's not been one dime that's come through my possession of increase. In all these 53 and a half years, what God has got his penny. Every time I think about this, think about Joe Boyd was preaching here the first time. I've been here about 6 months, and Joe came for revival. I can't tell you all the story because of time, because it would be appropriate. But Joe got rattled. He'd never preached up north before. And you know how some of these southern guys are, and they come up north first time. "I know, I'm an old hillbilly, but I believe every word in the Bible." No, Joe said something that was stupid in his sermon, and he got rattled. He said, "You Yankees, if you think we rebels are dumb," he said, "you make $100 a week, and you give God a dime." He said, "That's not tithing." He said, "A dime is not a tithe of $100. A dollar is." "What do you think I am, stupid?" Shall we stand, please?